Love is something that begins in the heart. So is hatred. In fact, just about everything that we say and do on the outside begins with what's happening on the inside. The same holds true for worship. Hi, I'm Bertie Diamond. Welcome to the program today as we take a look at worship from a different perspective. Look, please do stick with me because at the end of today's message, I'll be telling you about a special booklet that I'd love to send you to help you lay hold of not just the abundant life that Jesus talked about, but the super abundant life that he has ready and waiting for you. One of the things that we all kind of know is that the great achievements that we have on the outside all start on the inside. Somewhere deep in her heart, a little girl dreams of being a great athlete. She nurtures that dream. Every morning she's up at 4 a.m. to go to training, day after day, month after month, year after year. It's that thing that's been going on in her heart that sustains her. It drives her to achieve her very best, even when the odds are stacked against her. Everything that happens on the outside, everything we do and say, begins on the inside. It has its genesis in our hearts. It's true in every aspect of our lives, work and family and social and spiritual. The heart is an important place. You know, one of the most common things talked about right throughout the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, over 540 times, is the heart. Several times Jesus made the point that who we are on the outside is a reflection of what's going on in our hearts. Matthew chapter 12, verse 34, "For out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks." And again in Matthew chapter 15, verse 18, "But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make us unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean." See, for me, here's the biggest danger in thinking about worship. Well, I go to church most Sundays. We sing songs. Therefore, I worship. Then I go home. It's kind of like saying, well, I live in the same house and sleep in the same bed as my wife or maybe your husband. I peck them on the cheek each morning before I go to work. Once a week, I make sure I tell them, love you. Therefore, I love my wife or I love my husband. See how crazy that is? My wife is not interested in a ritual. She wants to know, does my husband love me with all his heart? And secondly, do I see that love reflected in what he says and how he responds to me? That's why Jesus, when he was asked the most important commandment, said, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first and greatest commandment. It turns out that worship is something that begins in the heart. It lives there first and foremost, but then it's meant to be reflected in our lives. If we just do worship once a week, that's a sham. I've been there. I've been standing in a church on Sunday morning, singing the songs with my mind wandering off somewhere else. That's not worshipping God any more than a quick peck on my wife's cheek is loving her. Worship is something that comes from the heart. King David knew that. Listen to what he writes in Psalm 24. "The earth is the Lord's and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For he founded it upon the seas, and he established it on the waters. Who may ascend to the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who does not lift up his soul to an idol or swear by what is false." See, David is saying here, God is above all. And if I want to ascend to the hill of the Lord, what he meant there was going to the temple and worship God, I need to have clean hands and a pure heart. A heart and a life that declare that I put Jesus first. Again, in Psalm 27, David writes this, "One thing do I ask of the Lord, this is what I will seek, that I will dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon his beauty and to seek him in his temple. My heart says of you, seek his face, and your face, Lord, will I seek. See, what's going on here for David is that something is happening in his heart. Can I tell you the truth? Just quietly, between you and me, don't tell anyone else. I am besotted with my wife. Like, I adore her. I worship the ground she walks on, you know. I just love her. It's a thing that starts and lives day after day in my heart. Some days we're both tired. Some days, just quietly, I'm grumpy. Some days she's a bit scratchy. But the thing in my heart just never goes away. And that's how it is for worship, for me. There's something about God in my heart that overwhelms me. Like David, my heart says, seek his face, and your face, Lord, will I seek. This one thing shall I ask, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. This thing of the heart, a desire, a besottedness, an overwhelming urge just to be with God where he is. I was recently traveling with a ministry for almost 2 weeks, and the ministry that God has me involved in here at Christianity Works is such a blessing and it's such a delight, and I get to meet so many people. But can I tell you, each time I have to leave my wife, it's an incredible sacrifice. You see, I love her. I want to be with her. When we go out together, more often than not, we're wandering down the street or through the shopping mall, hand in hand. There's a closeness, there's a desire, there's a want to be together. Sometimes, you know, I go along to functions, you know, a dinner or something like that, and I watch other married couples. Many of them don't ever sit next to each other at the dinner. You know something? We always do, because we're close. And that, in a sense, is what's going on in David's heart for God. He's saying, God, I just want to be close to you. I just want to dwell in your house all the days of my life and gaze on your beauty and seek you in your temple. My heart says of you, seek his face. And your face, Lord, I will seek. There it is. There's the heart of worship, a holy desire for God himself. Not what God can do, not all the blessings, just God himself. What about you? What does worship mean to you? You know, I went for a long time and I thought worship was just going along on Sunday morning and singing a few songs and coming home again. But if that's how I treated my wife, our marriage would fall apart. If that's how I treat God, if I say worship is just some ritual, some sham, it doesn't matter, there's nothing going on in my heart, how can we expect to have a vital, dynamic, exciting, besotted relationship with God? Sometimes we get dry and we feel like we've wandered off and we feel like we don't have that desire. We all go there some days. Stick with me during this week, because we're going to get together and look at what it means in our lives to worship God.
Whether you realize it or not, the superabundant life that Jesus promised in John chapter 10, verse 10, well, he actually means it for you. That's why I'd love to send you a free copy of our latest life application booklet called Laying Hold of Your Abundant Life. It's full of life-changing, practical Bible teaching to help you actually live out the abundance that Jesus promised. And at the end of each chapter, there are some life application questions to help you apply God's Word right into the realities of your life. To request your copy, stop by our mobile-friendly website, ChristianityWorks.com, and you'll see that free offer right there toward the top of the homepage. Click on it, pop in your name and email, and that e-booklet will be winging its way to your inbox in just seconds. But this is the very last week that this particular booklet will be available, so please don't miss out. Again, that web address is ChristianityWorks.com. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm Bernie Diamond, and I'll catch you again, same time tomorrow. with a different perspective.